Today on CityCast Denver, a mere 5 years after they posted the NHL's worst record, the Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions.
Gabe, what did it feel like when you finally lifted that cup over your shoulders?
Man, it's just, I mean, that's 20 plus years of just dreaming and wanting and working for it and just finally coming to fruition after a lot of crazy years and a lot of hard work. But this group is just amazing, and all the way from the top to our third massage therapist, to the wives, to the fans, to our, everybody working in Ball Arena. I mean, it just, it's incredible.
Our sports guy Jake Shapiro is now also a sports analyst for DenverFan.com, which means he covered the whole Avs playoff run, including the decisive win on Sunday night. So I called him up yesterday morning for an inside look at the celebrations and to talk a little bit about what it all means. Today is Tuesday, June 28th. I'm Paul Caroli, in for Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver.
I woke up at like 10 just to jump on one of our shows, and I checked my Twitter, and Katie, my girlfriend, sent a tweet about how I woke her up last night and I tapped her on the shoulder when I got home, and I said, you'll find out after the break. So apparently I was doing show in my sleep.
Jake Shapiro, welcome back to CityCast Denver.
It is a great day to be a Denverite. It's a great day to be on the show, Paul.
Tell me everything. Where are you at emotionally? How are you feeling?
You just won a sports championship in Denver, Colorado, the first major title since 2016. These don't come around so often. First one in a generation as an Avs fan, 21 years. I know you're a big Avs guy, Paul, and it's just awesome. I mean, to see grown men cry, millionaires, to get on the ice like that and just throw off all their equipment and celebrate is awesome. And then head down to Lodo last night, and a bunch of people are, you know, more or less responsibly celebrating, but just want to be part of the action. And you love to see Denver all come alive behind a cause like that. And it only ever happens so often.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The final seconds. I mean, it brought me back to when I was a kid watching teams win the Stanley Cup. The last few seconds, the bench clears, all the guys chuck their gloves and helmets in the air. You just throw your stick away, forget all that. And
10 seconds to go.
So that outpouring of emotion, it's so exhilarating. You just want to be there.
5 seconds to go. Up it comes to the line. Colorado has won the Stanley Cup.
What was the scene like in Lodo?
My gosh, it was pretty hectic. People were lighting off fireworks. The riot police were out on every corner, more or less. We saw some videos of McGregor Square, people throwing tables and chairs into the middle. They tried to light a bonfire in the middle, which is hilarious.
And a little scary.
A little scary for sure, no doubt. I saw someone that got hit by a chair. They were not too thrilled. But out on the streets, it was a little bit more tame. There were people climbing the light posts. I did see someone rip apart a street sign and then start bashing it. So if you get a parking ticket in Lodo because you're not following the rules today, it might simply be because there is no longer a sign in that given location. But a lot of fireworks, a lot of singing, you know, chanting Go Avs Go, singing the Blink-182 song. People jumping up and down. I will say I was flashed more times than championships the Avalanche won last night as well.
Flashed like you, like women taking their tops off out of, you know, excitement?
Not their tops, their abs sweaters off, Paul. They were taking their abs sweaters off.
Okay, great. Cool. I don't know, it was kind of a weird weekend with all the, with Pride going on and the Roe v. Wade overturning protests. Like, sounds like you were out in the community quite a bit. How did you feel like these things were all intersecting?
Yeah, so Friday night, I was fully expecting the Avalanche to win. I thought that would have been a perfect story. But, you know, I'm going out with my girlfriend, who's a reporter at Westword, and me and her both wrote phone numbers on our hips in case we got thrown into the back of a police car, because we had no idea what was going to happen when we went out Friday night between the Roe versus Wade protests and if the Avalanche had won the Stanley Cup and basically started an everlasting riot into the night, because there was a lot of stuff going on. I wake up Saturday morning and there's the Pride Fest, the Pride Walk going on by us. And then yesterday I'm driving around town trying to find my spot to watch the cup and stuff like that. And half the streets around me are blocked off because of Pride. And then by the time I ended up downtown, half the streets were blocked off because the police were trying to disperse people from, you know, celebrating too hard with the Avs. So it seemed pretty crazy all weekend with just different events going on. And then even last night, there were moments when I was out on the town and I'm thinking, all right, the police just came into the fourth side of this intersection. I feel like I should probably get out of here right now because they're about to lay the metal down. But honestly, I'm critical of DPD, but I walked by an officer last night and he said, you know what? I'm an Avs fan. People have to have their fun. And truly, the police were kind of hands off letting people have their fun, and people weren't necessarily following the laws right in front of the police. So hats off to DPD for letting people let loose a little bit. It was a good time. And from what I saw, at least, it didn't seem like there was anyone that was malicious.
Where do you think this championship leaves Denver? What do you think this means to the city?
I think it's important to realize that the Colorado Avalanche have won their third Stanley Cup championship, which is the same amount of world titles as the Denver Broncos have won. You look at the most dedicated fan bases in Colorado, it's by far and away the Broncos. But quietly, the Avs have a very dedicated, hardcore fan base. And this Stanley Cup and the run, especially given the fact that they haven't been on TV for a few years, but they were on TV through this run, I think it really solidifies Denver as a great hockey town, as we watch Denver East win the high school title, the University of Denver win the national title in college, and now Colorado Avalanche win the Stanley Cup championship. So Denver, I think there's just a bunch of new blood and new life into hockey in this city. And a lot of people our age, Paul, you know, maybe they remember the 2001-96 stuff a little bit, but this is the championship that they're going to remember when they associate with the Colorado Avalanche. So I think this is really what's going to invigorate that next generation of Avalanche fans.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit Baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch, for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, Jake, there's one more thing I wanted to talk to you about this, and that's like a bigger picture on the impact to Denver. Now, every time we've gone into Westward to record our Friday shows the last few weeks, I'll talk to Patty Calhoun, the editor of Westward, about if she's watching hockey, is she excited? I love talking to her about sports. And she says every time, if the Avalanche win, this town is going to let Stan Kroenke do whatever he wants. Kroenke is, of course, the owner of the team. We're always talking about how he and Comcast are in this dispute that keeps the games off of television. What do you think about that? How does this championship change the dynamic around Kroenke and his development plans for the former Auraria neighborhood area, those parking lots around Ball Arena? What do you make of all that?
You know, Paul, will the city let Stan Kroenke do whatever they want in the Kroenke family? I'd actually say no, because I talked to a lot of people last night, and a lot of people are still pretty anti-Kroenke, despite the fact that he didn't bring just one championship to Denver, but two in the last week with the Colorado Mammoth also winning a title in lacrosse. So I think people are still pretty realistic about where the Kroenkes are, and they're very frustrated about the TV thing. And I think the TV thing supersedes the fact that they brought home a championship to Colorado, because it's like, yeah, they brought us a championship. That is awesome. We didn't watch a single game of the regular season because of you. So I think people are going to keep it real and not necessarily hand over everything to Stan Kroenke to let him walk all over the city.
All right, well, let's end on a positive note. One of my favorite traditions in the NHL is that if your team wins the Stanley Cup, Each player gets to take the cup for a couple of days over the summer and do with it whatever they want. And in the past, that has meant, in some cases, players taking the Stanley Cup to strip clubs, players drinking whole six packs of beer out of the Stanley Cup, drowning it in their swimming pools. Which Avalanche player do you think is going to be the most interesting to watch over the summer?
I think the one that's going to be the coolest, and it was referenced a little bit in the celebration last night, was Nathan MacKinnon's. And Nathan MacKinnon's good buddies with a guy named Sidney Crosby, who's been the best player in the NHL for about 15 years. And they're both from a small town in Canada called Cole Harbour. And Sidney Crosby invited Nathan MacKinnon to the parade and the hometown celebration, both of the times that Sidney Crosby won it. And Nathan MacKinnon said last night he was the drunkest guy at both of Sidney's celebrations. So he hopes at his celebration that Sidney is the drunkest guy at his. So I think that would be really fun if we got some footage of that with Sidney and Nathan celebrating, you know, Nathan's championship. And one of the coolest things Nathan said last night was 87, Sidney Crosby's number, is on there. Now mine is too, just like him.
You said 87. What does that mean?
Well, yesterday my room number was 1787. So we just felt like it was fate. I don't know. We both love Sid, and we just knew we were going to win when I got that room number.
And, you know, it's just so clear that he's his idol and he's going to get to celebrate with his idol. And it's just a cool little nerdy hockey story.
Well, Jake Shapiro, thanks so much for joining me to celebrate the Avs win. This is a good day for Denver.
Oh, it's an awesome day. Hopefully the Nuggets are next. We've got Rams, we've got Mammoth, we've got Avs. Nuggets next.
To finish off our celebration of the Avs Stanley Cup victory, I want to share one more thing. This is a story I told our host Bree Davies last year that's sort of personal for me and sort of tells the origin story of the Avalanche franchise itself. But mostly, it's about a set of uniforms that anyone watching the Avs Cup run this year would recognize. The team introduced this particular jersey design back in 2020, and they've been a fixture at Ball Arena ever since. It's a throwback with a modern twist.
We are set. In case you're wondering about the uniforms, reverse retro uniforms, which every team has this year.
The Avalanche wore their reverse retro for the first time on February 20th, 2021, at an outdoor game in Lake Tahoe against the Vegas Golden Knights.
And a little homage to the Quebec Nordiques with the uniform for the Colorado Avalanche. We are
underway. Bree, I really want you to see these uniforms. I'm going to send you a link. Can you just describe what you see?
Ooh, it's kind of 70s. And then there's, what is that? It's like an N with a hockey stick.
Yeah, it's an N with a hockey stick. It's also sort of an igloo, I think.
Oh, and then there's at the bottom, there's these symbols. They are, I know they're called the fleur-de-lis, but I don't know anything about them. And I feel very American when I say, I know this pattern from wallpaper. So
yes, and that's something listeners should know. I am not fully American, so I have a slightly different perspective on this. My family's Canadian, Western Canadian to be specific. And so for me, these icons, these symbols, this design, it points to this really deep-seated conflict in Canada that's been around for hundreds of years. There you
now
are.
You can.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Great. I'm good.
Long time no see. Great to see you.
This is Louis Gagnon. He's one of my dad's best friends, and he's a proud French Canadian. I called him up because I thought, if we Coloradans are going to be buying all this reverse retro merch and wearing these symbols, we should probably understand where they came from.
French Canadians are a people who have had a difficult history, and they felt very much so like second-class citizens, right, after the conquest in 1759.
Pretty much since the idea of Canada existed, this power dynamic has been part of how the country works, and sometimes it doesn't work at all. It's two distinctly different cultures with different languages and different histories, sharing resources, power, and hockey.
It always made sense to me to have an NHL team in Quebec City.
because in our collective minds, we French Canadians, hockey is our sport. And all the big legends.
Maurice Richard, Guy Lafleur.
Yeah, Jean Béliveau. I mean, all of them, right? And then, you know, Patrick Roy, the greatest goaltender on earth, really. And so, you know, so it was the sport that enabled us to shine.
The Quebec Nordiques played in the NHL for 16 seasons. The team was never that great, but their powder blue uniforms with the fleur-de-lis and the weird igloo N thing, the mere fact that they were in the game was something the people of Quebec City could be proud of.
And so when they were stripped away from Quebec City in 95, that really hurt. I don't think I ever recovered from that. I don't know that anybody has, right? It's a, you know, it's a permanent state of mourning in a way.
Just as they were finally getting some good players together, the franchise formerly known as the Quebec Nordiques went on to win the Stanley Cup in their first year wearing the burgundy and blue as the Colorado Avalanche.
Still held in, UA group shot, score!
In the 25 years since, the people of Quebec have rallied together on multiple occasions to petition the league for a new franchise, for a return of the Nordiques. But time and again, the league bosses said no.
And I'm still hoping that Quebec City will get a team again. People love hockey so much there. It's just not right for them to be deprived of a team.
I'd like to send you a link to look at the new uniforms that the Avalanche have been wearing this year and just get your reaction to this design.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me just see. Okay. Oh, gosh. Wow. Are they going to be wearing this for a while?
I'm not sure what the long-term plans are, but I know that the sales have been very, very strong.
This is moving. This is moving. It's a great honor. I'm sure that people in Quebec City are emotional when they see that as well. I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful. It's painful to be reminded that this team is gone, of course, but this has got to go to people's hearts, for sure, no question.
Unfortunately, I have to end this story with bad news. The reverse retros are long sold out from the official Avalanche store, and good luck finding resales for a reasonable price. Believe me, I've looked. But I have heard a rumor that they're bringing them back next year. A fan can hope. And here's what else Denverites are talking about. Today is Election Day. Denver voters have until 7 p.m. today to return a ballot in either the Democrat or Republican primary. We covered a few key races on both sides last week, so scroll back in your feed for context and information to help make your decision, if you haven't made it already. We'll talk about the results later this week. And that's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell a friend about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye.